All right. Let's greet everyone in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Remember those who aren't with us this morning, Jason's and Connie, several others that are sick, different families. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us. We just ask your blessing upon us, Father, as we strive together to be what you want us to be. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom, understanding, Father. Lord, help us as we open your word. Be with those who cannot be with us. Lord, encourage them and strengthen them, Father. And help us all to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles to 2 Timothy Chapter 3. I want to build on the church this morning, working together. Boys mentioned being a team. You know, sometimes we lose the idea of what a church is, but a church is a team. And I want to think about that a little bit this morning. It's just we're together in this. We're not individuals. We're together and making a team work. Everyone needs to do their part. We kind of lose the idea sometimes. It's easy to, like talking about last week, about not worrying about what other people think of us, to get independent and just think from there, I'm not going to care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do my own thing. And that is wrong just as well. And there's so many of these things. Everything you preach about, there's something on the other side that we can go overboard on. And so many times when we're preaching, you know, we'll bring out one point or the other, and almost every time someone gets hung up on that one point and just says, well, you can't say that, you can't do this. Well, you have to have all the one points, and you add them to another point, and you add them to another point, and the point is the whole. And that is so easily overlooked. We can get so caught up in details, so tangled up in just one little detail, and it's easy to do because sometimes we preach about one little detail and we just go overboard on that one little detail and miss the whole thing. And so our goal is to be complete. Like Jesus said in his prayer, he said, that they may be one. Like we are one. And to be one or to be whole is to be complete in ourselves. And so when we hear a message, we take that message, the correction or the encouragement that we might find in it, apply it to the whole of ourselves. Not just get all tangled up and super hyper focused on one little point or the other. That's where we begin to think that we've got it above everyone else because we're focused on this one point. And that is not the purpose. The purpose is the whole. That everything works together for the glory of God. And that means everything works together for the glory of God. And that's what our goal is this morning. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. This is Paul writing to Timothy. writing to us that in the last days, difficult times will come. He wrote this 2,000 years ago. And I don't believe he was just talking about this time. There's been difficult times all through history. But I do believe that now things are difficult, maybe more so than they have been in other times. There's times where men just had revivals where they found the Bible again, or they found God's Word that had been hidden and been under the cloak of religion, and we were given the Bible and people could see what Jesus taught. And it was so simple. Even though there was persecution and hard times and trouble, the simplicity of just following Jesus was just right there. And it wasn't clouded by 17,000 or 22,000 different denominations, let alone all the different religions, where everybody has a Bible. And it's just everybody has their point, or their point of focus, their point of religion. We are better than everyone else because we do things on this day. We are better than everybody else because we say Jesus' name this way, or Jehovah, or whatever. We are better than everyone else because we wear a covering. We are better than everyone else because we hold this doctrine or that doctrine. And it just goes on and on. But again, we're focusing on the whole of being together. That means, you know, whenever we get in the argument or talking about grace versus works, you could go out on a limb on both edges. But the Bible says that it's to whom God shows mercy, as well as by your own works will you be judged. And so your doctrines that come together as a whole, truly it is by God's grace that He's given us the situation that we're in. He's given us His Word. He's had mercy upon us. He's put us in this place where we are. And it's by His mercy and His grace that those things work together to do that. But yet, we all have a personal responsibility, not to perform or put on a show, but to be what He wants us to be. And that is whole as a group. Each individual having what they need. We've got all these things around us to detract and make it difficult. But the heart of the whole message is that God wants you to be a part of His church. And this church is not just this building. It's much bigger than that. We don't know sometimes who is and who is not a part of the church. We be the church, and those who want to just be a part of this glorious big church are acceptable and just willing to work together with others, maybe that we might even disagree with. But as a whole, we want to work together. Many, just because you disagree, separate themselves. Put themselves out. Well, I'm not going with them. I disagree with them. Or they believe this or they believe that. And they separate themselves, being these individuals. In the last days, a perilous, different time, difficult times will come. We'll read on here. And whenever he's talking about this, he's not talking about people of the world that we think of the world. It says, when he says, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, but denying, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Holding to a form of godliness. They have the appearance of godliness, but they still have all these other traits that we would think as just completely worldly. And we think, oh, this is the world he's talking about, but it's not. It's people who have a form of godliness. And that's what makes this difficult. That's what makes it perilous times. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Right here is a picture of modern day Christianity. All of these things entail modern day Christianity. There's more Bibles in the world than there's ever been. More people know the Bible than have ever known it. More people are scholars than have ever been scholars. Ever learning. People just set about to learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. But they never get to the knowledge of the truth. That is what makes it difficult. It's not about learning. It's about applying ourselves to be. For men will be lovers of self. It's what we talked about. When we think of lovers of self, we think, well, they're self-conceited. They're just proud of themselves. They just think that they're really something. Just really the bee's knee. You know, they just really think they're right up there. That's not what it's talking about. Lovers of self is when you put yourself above what God wants. When you put yourself, and that's what we talked about last week, you're more concerned about your own salvation than you really are about what God wants. That's a lover of self. That's what he's talking about. It's not this, of course, this arrogant, proud is wrong. But that's not who he's talking to. We can all spot those. Everybody can see that. What makes it deceitful is those that are really humble acting, really careful about every little thing, but they're doing it because they love themselves. That's what the Bible brings out. That's why the Bible is quicker than sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide between what's right and what's real and what's wrong, even though they look exactly the same to everyone else. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents and ungrateful and unholy. You know, this we can understand the boastful and the arrogant, the revilers, people just going around trying to stir up problems. We can kind of see that. Sometimes we don't recognize it because it always comes with a concerned attitude a lot of times. I'm really concerned, but really they're reviling or causing people to get all concerned and get upset, and they're trying to kindle a fire, start a riot. They're just trying to cause trouble. Disobedient to parents. We train our children to obey their parents, to love their parents. We can obey our parents, but not respect them. We can obey our parents, but not respect them. I've seen children just that their father would go out of the room and the child would just be just sitting there like a little angel. But the parent goes out of the room and the child just looks over at you and just makes the ugliest face because he has no respect for you nor for his father except for the rod that he's going to be beaten with if he would see him act that way. Respect for authority. Respect for elders is more than just obeying commands. You can obey and not have any respect for someone. That's as disobedient as you can get. It looks fine, but it's all hypocrisy. You're afraid of getting in trouble for not obeying. But there's no respect there. This idea of not caring about what others think. You know, I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to do what I think's right, and I don't care what anybody else. That's not the attitude of what we're talking about whenever we say not to be thinking or worried about what other people are thinking about you. Some people are worried about what other people are thinking for their own gratification. And they build on that until they get to the point where they don't care what everybody thinks. No matter who they are. We need to care about what other people think whenever they're trying to criticize us, trying to show us a better way. That all has to happen with respect. Some people say, well, we shouldn't respect anyone else. Some people say we shouldn't have any respect. We shouldn't care. We shouldn't have any man that's in authority over us. When God said, children, obey your parents, He was telling you, you are to respect and have a care for some man being over you. And when you disregard those things, you just as well throw Jesus out because He was a man. And the disciples had respect for Him while He was in the flesh, while He had a body. Respecting. Now, I'm not saying just go be a zombie and just do what everybody else says. But there is an order of things that God intends and is perfectly right and good of respect. The Bible is full of that, where there's a respect of their elders. There's a respect for their family. You know, you go into some of these heathen villages, we would think. But they work so beautifully because there's an order of respect. And it's not just a law thing. They actually respect. And that is godly. And that is right. But we live in a day and age where we can be so puffed up and full of knowledge, we don't have to listen to anybody. Sometimes we have to choose to do things opposite. But we can still respect those who are above us. And if they choose to discipline us or whatever, we'll just take it. But we can still respect them. We're all building off of dishonoring, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. You know, whenever I was growing up, if I got in trouble at school, whatever punishment I got at school, I got double when I got home. Today, people are so afraid that the teacher's going to spank their child. And that's why we have a lot of what we have today in this world. Is because if you give your child to someone else to train them or teach them, you're the one giving them authority to discipline them however they seem fit. And if you don't think it's fit, you need to be doing it yourself. Whenever you have someone look after your children, maybe, you are giving them the right to take care of those children however they see fit. If you don't think they see fit, keep them yourself. The children need to respect their teachers, other fathers, other mothers, older brethren, just like they would their own parents. Well, how can you respect both? If you've got respect for others, for elders, for your own parents, you can respect others. But what if you got punished at school or somewhere else and it was unjust? I still got punished at home. And it didn't scar me. But it did help respect. It did help build respect. Whenever we rush to defend the children instead of someone else, what are we instilling in the children? Learning to take correction. Learning to take discipline. And do it gracefully and respectfully is all part of being obedient to our parents. That teaches us to learn how to have respect even when someone is unjustly accusing us. We can still be respectful. We can take what's right and still learn from it. Verse 3 says, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness. Although they have denied its power, avoid such as these. Just real, if we look at some of these things, these words, some of these bad qualities, we can find the good side and build on those. Paul was talking here to Timothy, who was wrote this down or heard this, because he was a leader of a church. He was a bishop of a church. The goal of these things is to teach us to see the whole. Some people focus on the last days and they look for things. But the goal of this is whether the Lord returns tomorrow or 1,000 years from today. Right now, being a church, being a part of the whole, is our responsibility. Whenever you look at life, almost every aspect of it, when people are working together, they all have a different responsibility. And we can think our position a little better than everybody else's. But the truth is, if someone else doesn't do their job, it reflects on the whole thing. It reflects on the whole deal. If someone else isn't there to hand you what you need, I mean, sometimes the little jobs we don't think are very important. But if the little job isn't done, the second job can't be done. And the next job can't be done. Or if it's done, it's done really inefficiently. Just anything you do, we're a team. And that's what makes it all work. You know, we see maybe baseball or football, and there's somebody that's always the star. Well, if somebody doesn't pass the ball to the star can't be the star. If someone can't block and do the defenses for the star can't be the star. He may get all the credit, he may get all the glory, but if there isn't somebody doing the stuff that's building the basics, paving the way for him, he's nothing. We all have a part. Yours might seem like it's just nothing. But whenever it all comes together, just like the scene, when everybody just does their part, it just sounds beautiful. But you get people that are not doing their part. Oh, I can't do very well. You're hindering. Being a part of the body. You know, all these things that Paul said that warned us about being difficult things in the last times, and those that are not good qualities, and those things that are bad and detrimental, can all be overcome by us being respectful and just doing our part. You know, a person that loses themselves and just does their part, they don't have to worry about getting caught up in all these things that are so ugly. When they just become part of the whole, all those things that are on the outside that look so ugly don't even affect them. Lord, add his blessings. May we learn just to do our part. Be part of the whole. It's in the family, the church, the community, whatever. It's all bigger than us. We can think that we're really special and we got it above everyone. We're just going to stand out all by ourselves. Sometimes just doing what's right, you do stand out. But that's not a goal. And Lord, have his blessings.
God is love, his mercy bright.
Yeah.
Goodness and mercy.